You're listening to Free City Radio. This is edition 332. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for being with us today. This is the third edition of a series of interviews with cultural workers in Mexico City, Transbordar, in transit, in transition. And it is affiliated to a zine project that I launched in collaboration with the Suoni per il Popolo Festival in June 2026. On this edition, I am going to be featuring a conversation with Sorucha, who is a feminist street artist and contemporary organizer, thinking about the intersections of the feminist movement and artistic practice in the contemporary context of Mexico City, but also thinking back to autonomous political movements and the arts in Mexico City and Mexico across generations. I think that Sorucha really offers some important insights to understand the intergenerational ideas that have shaped feminist artistic practices in Mexico. And it was really a pleasure to speak with her for this edition of this series of Voices of Cultural Workers in Mexico City. Here is my conversation with Sorucha. Today, there's a lot of conversation about the intersection of art and social movements. And just from the vantage point of thinking about that intersection in, let's say, quote-unquote, Western contexts, Canada, Western Europe, it's often explored as a sort of a phenomenon that is sort of unfolding in a contemporary context. In a lot of contexts around the world, Mexico would be a very clear example, that intersection of social movements and cultural workers is intergenerational. And that's also been part of the understanding of the sort of role of artists and cultural workers for a long time. So Sorucha, you know, we know each other and, you know, I'm familiar with your work. And I would love to talk to you about some of the current projects that you're working on. But maybe just first start, we could start by sort of locating a little bit of that sort of context of thinking about that intergenerational connection of an understanding of movements for social change and cultural workers as having an active relationship, and that this is not a new idea in the Mexican context.
Yeah, I think that it's not a new idea in the Mexican context or in any context. I would say that there is no way a social movement can advance if they don't walk hand in hand with cultural workers. Because you can't dissociate one from the other. And also the work has to be done from the core. So when things within the movements are being generated in terms of the ideas, what to move, the strategy planning and everything, that has to be encompassed with how are cultural workers going to enable that information and place or create platforms that can allow for those ideas to flourish, to happen, and to connect with others. So in terms of Mexico, of course, we have a long history of cultural workers working directly with social movements. And also, in any arena, to create a, what could I say? The national identity, for instance. One of the strongest political works is muralism, right? And it was very, it was established, no, alongside the state. So even if it was in many ways a protest to what was going on in that time, it had also helped to ingrain what Mexicans are, no? Not indigenous, not black, not Spanish, but the mixture of everything, no? And that in itself was a very big push by the cultural sector to establish a national identity, which in turn erased a lot of these other identities that have been present for centuries in this country. And so, yeah, it creates a lot of problems around it, let's say. But definitely there is a long-standing tradition of art moving and advancing social movements. I don't know if you want me to continue and to move on to feminisms, and I could talk forever.
That's great. I mean, just sort of locating that intersection in terms of like nationalisms is important in terms of understanding a contemporary lens of where Mexico's at today, but also more generally that sort of intersection of I mean, you're right, and I really appreciate you underlining that point, that intersection of you know, political questioning and process and the arts isn't always a healthy relationship. So that's important to underline. I mean, in the Canadian context, thinking about, for example, the role of the National Film Board, it has both had a very progressive, radical role in some cases and a very regressive colonial role in other cases. So there's always, but artists play a critical role in actually looking at those complexities, and your work in relation to feminist movements and other social struggles in Mexico, I think is an interesting and very important example of that. So yeah, please talk about your work in that context. Thank you.
I would go back to Monica Mayer's work, which is like the first social practice artist that started doing feminist artworks in Mexico back in the 70s, 80s, 90s. So she set the ground for other feminists to start doing this kind of work that was directly addressing civil society regarding gender-based violence. And so from there, there has been a type of work like hers, then Lorena Wolfer started also taking on the theme of violence, gender-based violence, from a different perspective, and also putting one's body in terms of as a performance artist, and then moving fully into social practice. And so I have been drawing from there to inform my own activities and what I would love my art to do is to create a space for people to experience a different way of relating to one another. And so I think it's obviously regarding and addressing gender-based violence, but also classism, racism, and different kinds of violence that are in this country, very intertwined. But to give us a space not to only talk about violence, but to see other ways that we can relate to one another that is not mediated through that violence and hierarchical structure. And so I also think that it was, well, no, I'm also part of collectives that are thinking about what's going on in Mexico in terms of gender-based violence and in terms of the social movements and what's going on and how we are getting along or not between us and how the far right is advancing. And therefore, that informs how I will create my project. No? So for instance, the projects that I do go in response to what is happening or being needed at the time. It's very site-specific and time-specific. It's not something that you can translate anywhere else just as it is, right? It always has to transform and adapt to the place that it's talking to and talking with, because it's always about participation. And that is also the beauty of it, because I find that social practice, what it does is encompass what people at that time need to say and speak up about, and therefore you become a platform as an artist for others to talk about a certain issue that is needed to talk about in that time, let's say.
You talked about site-specific responses to the dynamics of the moment. And, you know, the last, let's say, decade in Mexico, there's been a radical propulsion of conversation about gender-based violence. And, you know, it's created this, I don't know exactly the right word to use, but this sort of precarious dynamic where an artist like yourself and others have been invited by state institutions to engage with this question. But then the sort of social movement momentum that has pushed this question, let's say, into a spotlight has really been rooted in the street-based level mobilization, right? That also have included a lot of art and also like thinking about colors and sort of symbols, purple, and the placement of statues. So yeah, do talk about some examples maybe within this sort of dynamic, which, because it also relates to those earlier questions you brought up about in relation to murals in Mexico and artists that maybe are critical of, you know, colonization dynamics in Mexico, but also have been celebrated as part of the quote unquote national heritage.
Yeah. I think that it's very important to place the question of what we consider art to start with, no? When we're talking about social practice, because then a lot of the things that have been going on in terms of feminisms here, I perceive as social practice, even if it's like not necessarily thought through, but in the end, they end up having different aspects that do have the impact that is generated through social practice. And so there's a lot of symbols, as you say, even going back to the 90s, one of the biggest symbols that is more rooted in Mexico is the pink crosses, which have become a symbol of the struggle against femicides. And that started with the femicides in Ciudad Juárez, where people's families have, victims' families would set up a space for those crosses. And then those became installations. And then in different parts of the country, that was socialized because it started spreading to many other states. And so that in itself becomes a language, no? Entonces, so art becomes a language that allows the people to talk about what they're going through, no? As opposed to an artist that talks about something that they want to talk about only and they express, no? In a very individual sense, let's say. And so this tradition of installations has led to many other installations that most of them can be looked at in Mexico City on Reforma, which are anti-monuments. And these anti-monuments are to talk about, let's say, the 43 assassinated students of Ayotzinapa, and to talk about another one of a the burning of a daycare where a lot of kids died, and it was due to negligence and two different issues regarding also the involvement of the state. So it is not only about gender-based violence, but is a way that has been acquired by civil society to talk about the problems at stake. And then those are not only a standalone, let's say, anti-monument or piece in the middle of a street, but they also create a performative space where people come, they take over that place, even if it's closing the street, and they have a press conference, or, you know, so there's a lot that goes on around these pieces, and a lot of planning and strategy of where they're going to be placed, and what does that mean. And so the feminist movements have taken from that as well. Actually, in 2019, a feminist collective of mothers of victims of femicide decided to establish an anti-monument in front of the Museum of Fine Arts during the demonstration of the 8th of March. And so all of this, as I was saying, is not is part of this language that when you can read the city and what the city is telling you, it talks about death. It talks about the state being part of this necropolitical system that it has built, right? So, so in that sense, I think it's what I try to do is also talk to my peers and see where we're at and then react to these realities, no? I find that right now, where we're at is that we need to talk between feminisms. It's very fragmented, as opposed to the far right that is, even if they have their differences, they do moving along and going, advancing, they do it beautifully. And it's terrible. So what I'm trying to do is also like create projects or spaces where we can talk about these differences and do more mediation, acknowledge that conflict does not necessarily is violence, no? All these things. And then if that is called art or not, I don't care anymore. I think for a long time I tried to be part or be acknowledged by the contemporary art scene. But I think that but more and more I see it as a pointless endeavor because we have very different aims. And for me, it's more important to look at what we need to create and what tools do I have through the arts to enable that and bridge our differences, let's say, than doing something that is related to a museum specifically.
Mm-hmm. But it brings up some really interesting points, looking at art institutions also as sites of struggle. And, you know, the last few years have really underlined that in relation to Palestine, for example, and thinking about how there's different levels of institutional complicity or relationship with the military-industrial complex, arms companies, etc. But yeah, I mean, in this contemporary moment, I would ask you maybe about the importance of people looking at these intersections between cities, right? So, you know, part of the goal of this series is to create deeper, at least hopefully a little bit, understanding of people who are interested in this intersection in Montreal and those in Mexico City, very different landscapes, politically, culturally, and socially, economically. But we can also find ways to learn from each other's experiences.
I agree with all of that, but I don't know what the question is.
Well, just like, what do you think about that? Like, the ways that we can learn from each other's relative experience between cities. You know, some of the articles, some of the artists that you mentioned, Monica Mayer, for example, I know spent time in the Bay Area in the 1960s when a lot of like the feminist movement in the United States was really active in debate and really, you know, you've mentioned this to me. And obviously that experience was important, but it's also a different landscape than Mexico City, the Bay Area, obviously. But there's ways that sort of different urban experiences and landscapes can learn from each other, I guess. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Definitely. Yeah, to set the ground, as you were saying, Monica was part of the Women's Building. And there she learned about the small groups of people, no? small groups of raising consciousness groups, let's say. And then she brought that to Mexico and incorporated that into her practice. And so, yeah, definitely it's a way of exchanging knowledge and creating new spaces and platforms for people to talk about different violence, types of violence. And right now, I think it has been very nourishing. I think that Montreal has a lot to exchange with Mexico City, A, in terms of multiculturality, no? Because it's not only we can learn not only about the struggles that are taking place within Montreal, but also with so many other countries at the same time, that we can be in touch through the people that are in Montreal, through its multiculturality. So I think that that is a huge and very powerful aspect of it. And also, I think that it's such a different way of relating to one another in terms of a society, that we can understand what could come to us or vice versa, or how does a society break down into what would happen if Montreal was much bigger with this amount of people? What would happen if... I think that the scenarios are so different that it allows us to open to other ways of existing and how to deal with those, with that existence, no? Like in Mexico City, we are around 22 million people. And so the way that we relate to one another is very different to what happens in Montreal. And the way we deal historically and in contemporary society with conflict is very different from what you have. And so that can allow us to strategize together to see how we could solve or how we could advance in terms of social movements, no? Also, like, the tools that we create are always different, or how you use the same tools that I use, but I employ them differently because it's a different context, and that is very rich, no? Whether it's it also opens the door to many possibilities that we can, like, try out here, let's say, and have that conversation. I think that those conversations are crucial because it's a way to reinvigorate the struggles and the way that we go through them. I think that also just it's very particular to social practice and social movements that it's the type of artwork that comes with it is not quote-unquote original. And this is actually a concept from Tania Islas Weinstein. No, so it's not that we are creating something original all the time as it's quote-unquote supposed to be in the art world. We always draw from the past. No, so there's like the pink crosses. Okay, we draw from that. What is... And in a group of mine, a collective of mine that we talk about social movements, feminisms in Mexico City, we have been examining what is still relevant from the past in terms of tools, in terms of strategies, and what is no longer relevant for this time and space, no? And then we retake those. And then you create a new piece, a new whatever it is needed, no? And so it's never starting from scratch. It's always has in itself a I don't know if you say it, like genealogy. And so that's also a particular aspect of this kind of work that I think is very beautiful, but also it's more practical, because then you're not trying to invent the wheel. It is important that people actually know the history, because a lot of the young the youngsters do try to invent the wheel, and then that's where we have a lot of issues. But in itself, I think it makes it stronger, and that's why it prevails. No, and that's when things become a symbol, and you don't have to work that much to like ingrain a kind of thought that you wanna talk about, or you wanna put in the public sphere, no, and spotlight.
Yeah, and through that common understanding of symbols, they can be debated and remixed and replayed or reimagined or just dropped, depending on a particular context of how artistic symbolism shows up in social movements. And that ongoing conversation is very important, and that expands to many different spheres of creative expression as a tool of advancing social struggles. So thanks so much for this conversation today. I really appreciate it.
Me too. Thank you.
That was a conversation with Mexican artist and feminist activist Surucha, which is part of a series that I have worked on linked to a zine called Transbordar, Voices of Cultural Workers in Mexico City, that launched in June 2026 in collaboration with the Suoni Para El Popolo Festival. Free City Radio broadcasts weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CJLO 1690 a.m. also in Montreal on Thursdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and Fridays at 1:30 p.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m., on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 a.m., on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m., on CGSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Tuesdays at 4 p.m., and on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. We're also a podcast. Look us up. Just search Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be with you next week.
listening to CJ.